our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Jesus Christ, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Jesus Christ. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no man can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do.
Boundary between what is right and what is wrong. I guess we all do that. authorities of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the world. Like the way of the world and the ruler of Satan, who is the enemy of God. Doing what our basic human nature wants us to do, living for self. Oh, what a minute, you say, is that true of me? Well, let's honestly examine ourselves and ask ourselves the question, do we ever live for ourselves rather than for other people? If you're honest, do we ever do what's wrong? Maybe I do. We could say that we're living for the world, the flesh and the devil. We're living without reference to God, living entirely for ourselves, allowing God's enemy, Satan, to have control over us. Maybe not always obviously, maybe in a subtle way. But Paul says, left to ourselves, this is the way it is. Well, I think the concerning side of this is, sometimes we may not even recognize this, and recognize it as a problem. Maybe we think that, well, things aren't too bad, you know, there are people who are worse than me, we don't always get it right, do we, but it's okay, isn't it? Well, is it okay? Is it okay in God's eyes if we don't do what is right, if we do what is wrong? Well, the Bible says God is perfect, and we, in our lack of perfection, are separated from God. And even the smallest sin is separated from God, because God can look upon sin. So we're not living with that spiritual dimension that we're intended to have in God in our lives. We are missing out. But more than that, the Bible says there are consequences of our sin. I'm sure many of us know that well-known verse in Romans 3, verse 23. All have sinned, and fall short of the glory of God. There's that illustration again of missing the mark. We all miss the mark. We know that. None of us are exempt. We all know that in here, really and truly, we don't always get it right. That's bad news. You see, the bar is very high. It's perfection. I'm sure we've all seen in the Olympics and that people trying to get over the high jump or even the pole vault, which was not so scary. The bar, God's bar, is perfection. And we know in our hearts we don't reach God's standards. So that's bad news, but I'm afraid it gets worse before it gets better, because, and you may not like to hear this, Paul goes on to say, because of this, we deserve God's wrath. Now there's a word you're going to like to hear, isn't it? The wrath of God. It sounds so extreme, it sounds so horrible, it sounds so bad. But Paul is at pains to point out to his readers the seriousness of sin. Now we might think of wrath as the uncontrolled anger of someone who's been upset by something very precious to themselves, like a burst of anger when you fly off the handle of something. That's not God's wrath. God doesn't behave like that. One commentator explains it like this: God's wrath is not a petulant, irrational burst of anger, like humans sometimes exhibit, but a holy, just revulsion against what is contrary to and opposes his nature and will. God's wrath is not a petulant, irrational burst of anger, we might think, but a holy, just revolution of God against what is contrary to and opposes his nature and will. And God is totally holy, totally perfect. And anything apart from that falls short of God. But God, it's not as if God has a fit of temper when things do wrong or we do wrong. He doesn't. It's God's rightful, reasonable, and controlled response to any sin and evil that comes out of any sin and evil in this world. little word you read in the Bible every so often at the beginning of verse 4. But. That's the bad news. But. There's good news. There's very good news. So let's not remain in the bad news, but we do need to recognize the bad news before we hear the good news. You see, although God is totally pure and holy, he's totally without sin. God is ultimately for us. He's not against us. Don't ever think God's like a big ogre in the sky with a stick waiting to hit us as soon as we do wrong. God loves us. How do we know he loves us? For goodness sake, he sent his only Son, Jesus, to die on the cross to remind us of Jesus. What a demonstration of love is that? So yes, the wrath of God is real. It's not a problem that brings us up all the time. Let's see. It goes on. But because of his great love for us, God who is rich in mercy, I don't know how rich you are. Us alive with Christ, even when we're dead in Christ. You see, that's the good news. The God who is totally without sin loves us, cares for us, and he can make us alive again, although we were dead in our transgressions. You see, we were dead, and then we can come alive. As well as being holy and just, God is also loving and merciful. In fact, he says he has great love, and he is rich in mercy. Not just loving and merciful, great love, rich in mercy. And that is what enables us to be changed from the state of being dead, united to God, to being alive in Christ. And that's the good news. It's a very good news, and not without it. God's for us, he's against us, he loves us, and he's done everything necessary to transform our lives from spiritually dead to spiritually alive. You see, the life we can experience is life with God. It's eternal life, everlasting life. Life in the presence of God, life alongside Jesus, life in a totally new dimension. Yes, and a life that will never end. When we leave this earth, eternal life goes on beyond death. And the good news, when all our friends have passed away, believing in Jesus, we're in a better place there. Still experiencing life in Jesus. So life sharing in the victory Jesus won over sin and Satan. We don't always get it right, we don't always take what he's offered to us. But at least it is a life beginning to show the characteristics that God intended for us when he made us in the first place. God made grace you have been saved. And it goes on, before he comes up with that magnificent verse in verse 8, which we'll come up in a moment. By grace you have been saved. Because of the unmerited goodness of God, we're saved. Now that's a bit of a churchy word, isn't it? You just say salvation. Ooh, that's even worse, isn't it? We are saved. artist's pictures are all different. And I reckon an expert can see the hand of the artist on that side. I'm sure you're an artist now. You can see the hand of the artist in all of his paintings, of her paintings. All different. And there's the hand of the artist. There's the character, the traits of the artist. And as God looks at us, he sees something of his character in front of us. And I look around in you, brothers and sisters, I can see something of God in you. And I trust you can see something of God in each other. Because he's in the process of changing us, transforming us. After he's done his work of salvation in us, making it right on our side. So we may feel totally inadequate to do the work that God has prepared for us to do. Well, he can help us. He's given us his Holy Spirit to live with us day by day to enable us to live for him. We may not do it very well, we may still make mistakes, of course. So, what do we make of what we've heard today? Bad news? Very bad. The good news, the amazingly good news, is how the good news works out in your life. Go back to where you started. You lift up the phone, and you hear what's on the phone. You're bad news. Goes bad news. The bad news is always better than good. Yes, my sins, you deserve nothing from God.
If you're using the book, it's number 579. Restore, O Lord, the honour of your name. In works of sovereign power, come shake the earth again, that men may see and come with reverent fear to the living God, whose kingdom shall outlast the years. And after that, Catherine's going to come and speak to us.